So before I get into the message, I need to do a vocabulary word with you. In your text where it says flesh, the Bible uses the term flesh in two different ways. And you think the text that might be printed in there doesn't use it. It might use the world, use it or your human nature. But the reading said flesh. What that is referring to is not that we're not part of a physical world. We are. Being a Christian is not an escape from the physical realities of the world. What it means is you're not, the flesh is under the, in the Bible, is what's under the power of sin in our human nature. So what he's saying is, when you were under the power of your human nature, this was true, and now you're in Christ, this is true. And I say that because there are people that look at Christianity as a way of getting out of the world. We are in the world. We are physically here in our bodies. We're in the physical place. We are around physical people with real human and physical problems. So Christianity, as we read this text, look at this text, is not a matter of getting out of what the world is like. It's how to be the person God's called us to be and redeemed us in the world. So as we go into this text, keep that in mind. So anytime I use the words flesh and human sinful nature and the world somewhat interchangeably, because the Bible uses them somewhat interchangeably, but that's the meaning of the words as we go through. Now last week, we considered the verses just before this in the book of Romans. We considered that everyone who is in Christ is no longer under condemnation before God. Now this week, we're looking at another truth, that we're not only not under condemnation, we are now part of an entirely different realm, Paul says. We are citizens of a very different kingdom than we were before being in Christ. He writes there in verse 9, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh. You are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you." Now that can be confusing, because as we just said, the world where we lived before being in Christ and the world which we live after being in Christ is the same physical place, but spiritually, two distinct different realms. Our physical location, our personal history, our current circumstances, these have not changed just because we're in Christ. However, our way of perceiving them has changed. Our way that we see ourselves has changed by being in Christ. And how we think about these things has changed because we're in Christ. I mean, that's what this whole text is about. Set your mind. Where is your mind set at now that you are in Christ instead of the world? So before being in Christ, our mind was set on the things that the world desires. We just went along with the flow. Okay? We understood who we were by the way the world told us we were. We took our self-image of ourselves by the things that the world told us we were. Or we took it on the things that we were able to achieve that the world says is valuable, the world says is approvable, that the world says makes you cool. You know, then that word itself makes us all old. Okay? But we thought of ourselves, we thought of our life, we measured ourselves, measured our worth by what the world told us we were worth, by the approval or the disapproval of the people and the world around us. And our beliefs about how the world worked was what shaped how we worked to get what we wanted. So that's what Paul is saying. There was a time that was your mindset. That's where you were. Before you were in Christ, that was the mindset. And that's the mindset of anybody that's not in Christ yet. But now that we are in Christ, he says, now that we're in Christ, our mind is set on what the Spirit of God desires, not on what we desire and not what the world tells us we desire. So now we understand ourselves as in terms of our new life that we have in Christ. Now we measure our worth by how far God was willing to go to bring us home. That sets an infinite value upon us. We understand ourselves according to the width, the breadth, and the depth of God's grace for the undeserving. Our beliefs about life's meaning and how and our purpose are now shaped by the realization that we were redeemed in Jesus Christ. We were restored to our created intent for the purpose of glorifying God who made us and redeemed us, and who now calls us adopted sons and daughters of God. Two completely different mindsets. The mindsets of those who are not yet in Christ, and the mindsets of those who are in Christ. Two entirely different assumptions about ourselves, about our life, about our world, about how things operate, depending upon whether our mindset is that of the rest of the world, how the rest of the world sees these things, or if our mindset is on the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a spiritual struggle for an awful lot of people who have professed faith in Jesus Christ or are thinking about professing faith in Jesus Christ. Why is it a struggle? Because a lot of people still live, even though they've come to church, even though they perhaps verbally professed faith in Jesus Christ, they become a member, they become involved in ministry. But even though they're doing that, on one hand, they still are living under the assumptions of their old self as a citizen of the old realm and thinking along old realm ways. Jesus said you can't serve both God and the world. And this is what he meant. You can't have a mindset set on Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us on part of your life, but the rest of your life is still on the mindset that you used to have in terms of the world. Jesus says you can't straddle those two things. You must be, your mind is either set on one or you're set on the other. You cannot divide your heart, you can't divide your mind, you can't divide your soul with part of our life in one realm, the realm of God and the family of God and the kingdom of God, and part of our life in another, the realm of humanity and the world. You can't, those two things don't work together. We try to make them work together, and that's why we struggle. To the extent that we pull God, or attempt to pull God, into part of our life that we've reserved for ourselves, okay, we do so with the assumption that God's going to help us fulfill the desires of the other part of our life. So a lot of people come to Christianity and they grow up in Christianity thinking that, okay, if I give part of my life to you, God, my time, some of my money, some of my talents, I come to church on Sunday, I go Bible study, I pull you into part of my life, then here's the deal, God. If I pull you into that part of my life, then you need to give me this, 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 and this that I want here in this world. Do we have a deal, God? And God says, no. Because my deal is it's all or nothing. I didn't come here to help you serve the desires of your sinful human nature. I came here to give you an entirely new nature so that you are no longer pulled in that direction. But we keep trying to do both. We carve out that little part of our life for God, and we keep the rest of it for ourselves and our earthly, our worldly desires, our pleasures, our dreams. And all we expect of God to do is give us the things that we want. And Paul is saying here very bluntly, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't live in both worlds. You'll be always torn. You'll be always struggling. You'll always be discontent. You cannot take and compartmentalize your spiritual life in one box and your material life in another box. You can't sustain that, and it's not reality to have that. You know, there is an old saying, and it's got to be old because I remember it. It says, show me your calendar and your checkbook. That's why I know it's old, because it has a checkbook in it and a calendar. Show me your calendar and your checkbook, and I will tell you the priorities of your life. That statement was made, don't tell me what you say is your priorities. Show me your checkbook, show me your calendar, and I'll tell you what your priorities are, because that tells me where you put your time and tells me where you put your money. And this text, in a similar way, is saying, show me what your mind is set on most, and I will tell you if you've got the Spirit of God in you, which is an indicator that you're in Christ or not. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he says here, they don't belong to Christ. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. A mind governed by the flesh is death. A mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. A mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law. It cannot submit to God's law. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. And there are some people, I think, that would say, hey, that's awfully harsh. Okay? Come on, Paul, be real. Let's be realistic here. And I don't think Paul's backing off of that. And especially when you realize, you know who this is written to? It's not written to people who are outside the church. It's written to people who are inside the church. This whole letter is written to people who are already in church. That's a little scary. Because what he's saying here is that you people in church, not all of you, some of you have your mind set on the Spirit, but not all of you. And I have to talk to you about that. I have to bring this up to you because you're trying to live in one realm and the other realm at the same time. And I'm sorry, there's only one Lord. So we look at that and we say, wow, where am I? Where am I at? Says the mind that remains set on the desires of this world cannot serve God. It will always serve itself. It's a mind that's still under the power of sin, still living as the old self. Even if your public face that you show people is that you're a devout church person. That's what he's talking about here. You can tell it. You can act like a devout person. You can do all the stuff devout church people do. But if your mind is still focused on what the world has to offer you and what your desires for the world are, you need to spend some time with God talking to God about this, because I'm not sure that your mind is completely set on Christ. You're not really responding to my grace. You're trying to use me for what you want. The mind that remains set on the desires of this world is a mind that's moving closer to death, he says, and in the end will separate you from everything that's of life. Now, the first commandment, Jesus said, the first and the greatest commandment was what? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength, all of your soul. The key word being all. You can't take your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength and allocate, okay, this portion of it goes to God, this portion of it goes to me, this portion of that goes to God, this portion of that goes to me, this part goes towards my spiritual life, this part goes towards my material life. You can't do that and still say you love God. There's no room in a new life for the old self, is what Paul is saying. Either the old self is dead with Christ on the cross and we're raised to new life in his resurrection, or else the new life is not really alive yet. That's the challenge that he puts out there. That's what Paul is saying. Are you really just professing faith in Jesus Christ, or are you all in? You know the old story about the chicken and the pig? You know? You don't know that one? It goes like this. Farmer's wants to have breakfast. He wants to have bacon and eggs. So the chicken and the pig are talking about this. The chicken says, I don't have any problem giving my eggs. You know, I'll give that part of me to the farmer. And the pig says, yeah, but I'm all in. Okay. A lot of people look at God like the chicken looks at the farmer. I'll give God a few of my eggs. He can have those. But they don't want to be like the pig says, I'm all in. I'm all in all the way. So being a Christian is not just setting aside some of your time some of your money, some of your thoughts for church stuff. It's being transformed and renewed in every aspect of our life, in every circumstance, with every breath, so that our being in Christ is not simply what we do with our church time, it's what we do with our whole life. So then what does it mean to have your mind set on what the Spirit desires? And what does that look like? I mean, I have no problem if I really sit down and ask with myself where my mind is going, who has my mind, and what I'm, you know, I've got, you know, I remember being a young person to kind of lay out my life. I thought I knew exactly what was going to happen. None of it did. But I knew what I knew what I desired. Okay? I don't buy cars until they die. This is me. But then once it dies, I have a mind. Oh, I'd really like to have that car. My mind is set on that car. That's the kind of thing we're talking about now. What's your mind set on? Well, the Holy Spirit mind, the epistles give us some windows into that. One of the big ones, and one of the longer ones, is also written by Paul. It's Philippians 4, 4 through 9. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. God is always near. Do not be anxious about anything. Anybody here anxious about anything? This verse is for you and me. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, he goes on, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything that is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. And whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen me put into practice, the God of peace will be with you. This is the types of things your mind should be set on, these types of things. Other places in Galatians, he talks about what's the evidence of a mind that's set on the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. So if your mind is set on Christ, those are the basic characteristics of the emotions that you live out of. If your mind's not set on Christ, it's a whole different set of pieces that are in your life. Now, it's not just Paul that talks about this. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. And as obedient children, don't conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in the ignorance. Now, we already talked about one thing Jesus said. Here's another thing he said. When he was talked about regarding a mind that's set on the Spirit, it says, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send to in my name, will teach us all things, will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Those are just a sampling. Okay? That's just a sampling. There's another old saying that I've used often. Repeated thoughts become actions. Repeated actions form habits. Habits combine to define your character. So what you think about matters. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit draws our mind to God and changes us. But if we're spending our thoughts on things that are not of God, on things of the earth, that will change us also. That will shape us. So what we think about matters. If our mind, therefore our character, is shaped and changed by the Holy Spirit, in other words, if we are focused on our new life in Christ, Paul says the result is life and peace. In contrast to that, anxiety, competition, and conflict. Three things that are always attached to earthly and worldly desires. Anxiety, will I ever get them? Or if I have them, will I lose them? Competition, who else is out to get the same thing and I got to get there first? Conflict, I'm going to get them. It's going to be mine. So earthly desires always developing anxieties, competition, and conflict. Paul says that the mind that's set on the Spirit is a life has life and peace. We can be have a mind that gives us and sets us at rest, he says. And we're at rest partly because of the knowledge that when we're in Christ, we already have everything that is absolutely needful in this life or even for eternity. At rest because we have no fear of losing or having taken away from that which is essential. And that which is essential is a life in Christ. If you got that, you got it all. Everything else is gravy. Does that mean, oh, I'd be happy to live in poverty as long as I'm in Christ? Well, I mean, I'm not sure I'd be happy to live in poverty, but I would be able to if I had to and not turn bitter and angry about it if my mind was in Christ. Okay? So it doesn't mean that, you know, things in this life aren't going to be hard. Doesn't mean that things aren't going to hurt. Doesn't mean I'm not going to grieve when my wife dies. Doesn't mean that I'm not going to become frustrated when an HVAC unit doesn't show up. Okay? But if my mind is in Christ, I can put those things into focus of I already have everything that Christ can give to me. He gave me his life. He gave me his blood. He gave me a new life. Okay? I need to remember that so that all this other stuff is kept in perspective. And my way of thinking about it changes. And extends, Paul says, even to death. Our physical bodies, one day, will die. People we love have died or will die. The physical bodies that we have are, and at our age, most of us know this, they're getting weaker. Which is different than getting bigger. And my father-in-law is a farmer, was a farmer. His phrase when he got into his 80s was, you know, at this point, I feel like an old tractor. Everything's rusting up and the parts are falling off. But we don't face death with just stoic resignation. Just get over it. No, we do it with assurance that those who are in Christ, whose minds are governed by the Holy Spirit, we all know death is not an ending, it's a transition. There is life beyond this physical death. There is a resurrection. There is a place prepared. Therefore, as we look at the anticipation of death or the threat of being killed, perhaps under persecution in places, well, it's not something that we are to embrace because death is an enemy. But the promises and assurances of God can be embraced as true and certain and will carry us through whatever else is going to happen. This is a peace beyond understanding. Why is it beyond understanding? Because the world has no concept of this kind of peace. The world says if you could ever get to that point in your life where you have accomplished all your goals and fulfilled all your desires, you'll have peace. What a lie. Because once I've got the thing, now I'm anxious that I might lose it. Or once I've gotten this much, oh, I feel pretty good. Man, I could sure use more. The world never actually gives us peace. They don't have this kind of peace. And we don't understand the peace of God's offering because we have nothing to compare it to. But if we desire that peace and we seek it out, there's the joy of discovering that God's peace, there is a joy of discovering something that was something we never even thought about. And those who are governed by the Holy Spirit, have their minds set in the Holy Spirit, we have at least a taste of that joy, if not the full joy already. We don't have to wait till we've accomplished something to feel joyful. We have the joy of our salvation already. So don't seek your peace of mind, don't seek your peace of body or soul from what the world offers you or promises. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. So that's the message. As I said, for part of that message that Paul gives, very confrontational. Especially for people who are coming to church just as a piece of their life. And I understand when people say this, I understand what you're saying. It's, you know, I come to church because now that helps me get through the next 6 days of the week. But the next six of the days of the week, you're still a Christian, right? God's still with you. You can still pray, you can still worship, you can still be in fellowship with other Christians, you can still be about God's mission. Okay? It's not like Sunday is somehow spiritual and Monday through Friday are just trying to survive the material in order to get to the next spiritual day. Every day is material. Every opportunity, every challenge is there. And part of that comes down to what we're talking about, our mission in this new area we're going to be part of the neighborhood and not just in it. Because that is part of the physical world. That physical world belongs to God. People's needs, people's desires, people's joys, they're looking for what we already have if we are in Christ. And if we're in Christ, remember the second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. So when we love God, we don't have to be anxious about myself. I don't have to be anxious about myself anymore. If I'm not anxious about myself, I'm freed up to be caring for other people. Because they're no longer competition to me. They're no longer conflict for me. They are an opportunity for me. So as we move forward, it's very important for us as a church. Where is our mindset? I'll just do one last comment. I am struggling with my mindset at times right now. Because I have an inordinate amount of my thoughts and my time and my energy is going into my anxieties about this building right now. That building is a tool. It's not an end game. And we've talked about that. You all know that. I'm just reminding us right now. If my mind is set right now as a part of Family of Faith on how long is that HVAC building going to be here, when are we actually get moved in? Oh, man, this is changing all our plans. Everything we figured we were going to do is out the window. Oh, no. If that's our mindset, and I have to challenge myself on this, I have to remember, no, that's my mind is right now on an earthly thing. I have to put my mindset on Christ. If I put my mindset on Christ, I can handle this earthly agitation that I'm having right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, put our minds, our hearts, our souls, our strength entirely in Christ. Let us not try to put part of my life, this is my spiritual life, this is the rest of my life kind of thing. That just doesn't work, Lord. It's not in your plan. And let us not bring the anxieties of the earthly kind of thinking into our faith way of thinking. It's realities. It's things we have to deal with. There are problems in our lives. There are problems in our world. And there are things that we're anxious about. But Lord, we are in Christ. Let our mind be first set on you. Let us take these to you and trust them to you. And then, Lord, tell us what we're supposed to do with it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.